It'll be Michael Cohen Monday at the Trump trial. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. After today's testimony and the weekend off, a former attorney for Donald Trump takes the stand for questioning about the hush money payments he arranged that prosecutors say were illegally covered up ahead of the 2016 election. The former president heading into court this morning.
What they did, this trial was so horrible. It's no longer justice, and it's a tremendous abuse of the New York judicial system in particular.
An AT&T analyst has been testifying about phone records. The jury earlier heard more testimony from former White House aide Madeleine Westerhout. A federal appeals court upholds former Trump advisor Steve Bannon's conviction for contempt of Congress. He refused to testify and provide documents to the House committee investigating the Capitol riot. A four-month prison sentence has been on hold pending appeal. Police make arrests and clear out pro-Palestinian protest encampments at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Cambridge and at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia.
There's the bicycle police. Next came the riot police. And now you're talking about between 200 and 300 police in total here in complete control of the situation. What looked like one thing about an hour ago is now something completely different.
Steve Keeley with Fox 29, Philadelphia. The United Nations General Assembly is meeting for an expected vote on a resolution to grant new rights and privileges to Palestine and to ask the UN Security Council to reconsider Palestine's request for full membership.
Palestine has been a non-member observer state since 2012. U.S. Mission to the U.N. spokesperson Nate Evans said in a statement that the U.S. supports a two-state solution for Israel and Palestine and that the U.S. will vote no on the resolution, encouraging other member states to do so as well.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers in New York. Fox confirms the Pentagon will announce a new $400 million military aid package for Ukraine today, transferring weapons that are already in U.S. stocks, including Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, Bradley fighting vehicles, javelins, and ammunition. America's listening to Fox News.
Pure Talk, my sponsor and my wireless company, of now providing international roaming to over 50 countries. Now, as you plan your summer travel, make sure that your wireless company covers you at home and abroad. Now, you can get unlimited talk and text, plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. That's less than half the price of Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile for the exact same service. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. Make the switch to Pure Talk so you can afford to travel this summer. All right, who's there for heroes or their families left behind when a service member or a first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless vets? I'll tell you who. It's the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. They're hoping all of us will donate $11 a month. Just go to their website, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org, the letter T, number 2, letter T.org, for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios, 560 KBLU.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Scott Gross. New details on the 16-year-old boy who was found with a gun at Yuma High School. The gun was also loaded. A motive or intention behind the student taking the handgun on campus remains unclear. The Yuma Union High School District says the student is facing either a long-term suspension or expulsion by the district. Will a 7-foot-high wall erected in the Yuma neighborhood stay up or have to come down? City law only allows 30 inches and requires 4 criteria must be met in order for the variance to be granted. The Yuma City officer declared there was no special circumstances that applied to the property, and the decision was that the variance was denied. That means the wall must come down. And finally, the Yuma Union High School District announced it will be providing free breakfast and lunch for all students next school year. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports.
Mother Nature turning up the heat just in time for the weekend, and it looks like these warmer-than-average temperatures will continue through a good bit of next week as well. Make the most out of the cooler day we'll see through the weekend. 94 the high today. Tomorrow's breezy and slightly warmer, 96. Sunday, we could reach the triple-digit point, 100. Monday's not far off, 99 the high Monday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
560 KBLU, Derek Eggeberg with Guild Mortgage here. Good morning, Russ Clark in studio.
Good morning.
So you having a good week so far?
I really am. It's been a good week. They keep me busy, and that keeps my keeps me focused.
Lord knows we need you focused. So you've got anything going on this weekend?
The fights. Yeah, okay. I'm not fighting. I'm watching, and I'm talking about them.
I'd put
and
a dollar if you'd get in there.
There's many people that would.
Yeah, not going to happen.
I no.
Need many more zeros after the fact.
You know, I'm honestly training, but just to understand, get physically fit, and all that. I have no schedule or interest in really getting in the ring. But I wouldn't. I wouldn't put it out
say,
as a.
When you say training, it's not the 12-ounce curls, right?
No, no.
Okay, just making sure.
No, after I had that little illness scare, I've been in the gym 3 days a week.
You're training to be a better human being and healthier and
I'm
stick
training,
around longer.
I'm training with boxing and mixed martial arts at the same time.
So have you been hit hard yet?
No.
No?
No, but I don't mind.
Okay.
You know, and I didn't. I found out, you know, I don't mind getting hit in the face even. But we're talking about...
Well, is that from your girlfriend, or is that just from training?
No, no, no. No, but we're talking, you know, 16-ounce gloves and people that are sparring and not Tyson that would, you know, I probably wouldn't mind that either because I wouldn't remember it.
No, you'd be in the next room and you'd be done.
But this is just sport. This is sport, and this is not going to hurt anybody.
Okay.
So it's...
But how long have you been training for?
I started actually the first time maybe a couple years ago, and I did it for a while, and I had to quit because they shut it down, mm-hmm. and then I've been back with John here maybe 6-7 months.
Okay, so, and you can tell, for those who are around you, physically you look a little different, your face is a little different. How much weight have you lost? How much muscle have you put on?
I don't know. I probably lost 25 pounds. I've lost like 9 inches off my waist.
Okay.
And but I'm not anywhere near my goals yet, really. Mm-hmm. And I haven't focused on weight loss as much, but I need to.
But see, what you're saying is kind of what we need to talk about, though, is you're telling me that you didn't go into the gym and do one push-up and go, geez, I'm glad I got that done. You've been working at this for 7 months.
Yeah.
And you're still not, are you halfway home? Are you?
I think I'm well on my way.
Two-thirds of the way to your goal?
I think halfway. And but it escalates. It snowballs because, you know, my first days in the gym, I would do one set of eight
mm-hmm.
and sweat. And then now I'm doing three sets or four sets of 15 at three times the weight.
What you said, though, is if you're halfway home and it's been about 7 months, you know this journey is going to take you at least a year, right?
Yeah.
And that's just for your physical well-being.
But it would take 5 years to get to something really where I want to be, you mm-hmm. know, which I don't mind doing. You know, I really don't. I'm kind of enjoying the gym. I'm enjoying going. I'm enjoying the
journey versus a destination.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that's really the same thing when you talk mortgages and credit.
Correct. But most people don't enjoy the journey as much as they enjoy the destination. They're in such a hurry to get to the destination, they forget the journey's enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be on credit, too. I mean, I've been there, too, where I've had a credit rating that I wasn't proud of. And then watching that thing tick up mm-hmm. because of the things I did that were common sense.
And when you say that, let's take a look at credit. Okay, how long does it take to fix credit?
Depends.
Exactly. Could be a day, a week, a month, a year. Could be 7 years. Who knows? But there's a journey and a process. And just like you said, sometimes you don't enjoy the process. But you get to the destination, and sometimes it wasn't quite as fulfilling as you thought, which is why you see the credit card balances continuing to go up in the U.S. because it's retail therapy. It's let me go do something to make me feel a little better.
But yeah, it's like an addiction or something. You know, you're gonna get the high for a couple hours so you can forget your troubles, and you wake up, you still have them.
Right. So when you talk about your journey, what keeps you motivated to get there?
Number one, I'm liking it now because I've seen results. And the second you start seeing the ticks, you want to keep getting that positive reinforcement. I've joined gyms and I've done things before, but I never had a program that really encouraged me. I just had the pain.
So, but you're measuring things.
Yes.
So it's measurable.
Right.
And you're not expecting a 50-pound loss today, but maybe over a year or two, maybe, whatever that total is.
I haven't even gauged the weight loss.
Okay.
Right now, it's about endurance. And I'm being able to do the treadmill for 45 minutes and keep my heart rate right.
Which is still measurable and specific.
It's all measurable. And about weights, how much weight am I moving? Those kind of things. It's all measurable.
Every one of those things, though, you just told me you're committed to at least a year, but maybe 5 years and maybe lifetime.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I wish we could get more people, and maybe we need just better financial education in this country.
But it's not easy, and I know what you're saying.
None of it's easy.
You know, to get on that to where it becomes fun, enjoyable, and all that, most people say, okay, I'll fix it, I'll bear down, I'll put up with it, I'll sacrifice, and that's what they see, is they see sacrifice, and they see it's a pain and all that, and I can't wait till I get there so I don't have to do it anymore.
Right. Is it fun for you to be on the treadmill for 45 minutes?
Actually, now, yes. It was not originally.
Okay, so it took you a long time to learn that there was some enjoyment in it.
Right.
Okay, and that's kind of the same thing, whether it's budgeting or balancing a checkbook or just paying your taxes. Russ, is paying taxes enjoyable?
No.
No.
But you know, don't think about it in that term, I guess.
But you as a self-employed businessman, what does everybody do as a person who makes money? You try to reduce your taxes, right?
Of course. There's so many ways to do it that people don't generally do, but there's so many ways. It can become fun, too.
So one of the reasons that I say that is I see so many self-employed people, or even a lot of people that get paid cash, that don't claim any income because they don't want to pay taxes. Now, in your current industry, on the other side of the fence, how many shade tree mechanics do you see that get paid cash and just do stuff on the side?
There's a lot, and it's all sketchy.
Sketchy, cash, no reporting. Do most of those men and women that do that report those to the IRS?
I suspect not, but
okay,
I don't know.
If you don't claim the income and pay tax on it, can we as a lender use that income?
Nope.
So now you say, just like you on a treadmill, if you don't have a 2-year history of claiming income, guess what you don't have?
A history of income.
Oh, boy, was that a softball? You hit that 16-inch softball clear over the fence.
Thanks for that setup. I appreciate it.
But that's literally it is. You know, you don't necessarily enjoy the gym. You've learned to enjoy the gym, but it's getting you the results that you want. Look, I don't think most people enjoy paying lots of taxes. And clear that the tax code is written in a way that you can find deductions and you can find write-offs, and that's what everybody should be using is whatever's in the code, because that's the law. But if you don't claim anything, then you don't have any income to qualify. And it's amazing how many people walk in that they tell me, oh, I get paid in cash. Cool. Guess what I don't have? Any income.
I can't loan you money.
Or, you know, I'm self-employed. My gross sales were $100,000 last year.
So?
Cool. Show me what your net income is if we add back depreciation. Oh, well, I lost money last year. Even adding back depreciation. Well, if you lose money to be in business, and that's what you tell people on paper, you're on that treadmill forever, and it's not going to change. And so I don't want to say love paying taxes, but the enjoyment of when you claim the correct income, then you get the correct loan. And sometimes that long-term budget, like the people I talked to this week, it's going to be 2 years.
You know, Jeffrey Paulson, Pat Page Meisenheimer, you know, they were my accountants. When I had Napa. And they called me into the office. They called me and to let me know that I had to write a very large check, six-figure check in taxes above and beyond what was already taken out. And they started off with good news, bad news. Bad news is you got to pay a lot of money. Good news is you made
a lot of money. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to say I love paying taxes either, because I look for all the deductions. I think everybody does. But wouldn't it be so cool if you had to write like a $10 million check to the IRS? Because can you imagine the money that you would have made to have to pay that? Now,
hopefully it'd be more than $10 million.
Well, you would hope. But you look at how simple some of the claiming and deductions could be. And it's amazing how many self-employed people I see that the tax returns, they do it themselves. They're just not done right. Or they claim things is one item when it, in my opinion, and I'm not the CPA, but it should be claimed as another. And the other is a way to add it back in because it's depreciation.
There's an art and a science to it. Mm-hmm. And it's not that complex. Really, one item at a time is not that complex. You know, when you start having 100 items that you're using, you look at it like it's overwhelming. It's not really. Guys that do it for a living, like your CPAs and stuff, they do that every day. They know. The best I've known at it, though, is my fact checker, Edward.
Yeah.
Because he runs multi-businesses that we don't understand even. And every time I talk to him, he said, oh, you could easily do that. You set up an LLC over here, and you run it through that, and then run it back the other way, and then you don't pay any taxes, but you still get the benefit, and you can get this over there. And I'm like, really? But that's all available.
Yeah.
You know, and I gave a silly example that didn't make any sense, but when he first tells me, it doesn't make sense.
But it's literally a 1 + 1 = 2, no different than you on the treadmill.
Correct.
It's left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot.
Correct.
And if you actually read the rules, mm-hmm. it's all in there for anybody to look at.
Well, yeah, it is. And I owned an airplane when I owned Napa, and it was my accountants that says, okay, you need a separate corporation, put in a separate corporation, and you bill this corporation for the use of the airplane. And it ended up, I flew that airplane for very little mm-hmm. because it was pre-tax money, and I deducted it mm-hmm. for flying the airplane because it was part of the business, and I legitimately used it for part of the business.
But you didn't step over any lines.
Nope.
You followed the rules that are already written.
Well, see, the CPA has to sign off on it, so you're pretty secure in that mm-hmm. you didn't step over any lines.
But now go down a different road. When you say somebody who is trying to either not claim cash or they're basically writing things off in a way that they shouldn't,
right?
You're not focused on the big picture. You're not focused on the investing and what you need to claim the income for. Now, clearly, I'm in the position that I need to prove somebody's income to actually qualify.
Right.
So if you're not going to go buy a home, then don't listen to me and don't listen to Russ. And it is what it is. But it's the fact that you said you're on a year journey to get healthier. And right. you need to do things.
Right.
And when some of these self-employed individuals or cash-based people need to buy a home, you might be on a 1 or 2 year path to actually get there and claim that income.
Sometimes it's a lot simpler. Sometimes it's just because you have some credit card bills that aren't paid off. Some things out there, your formulas are upside down. And it's a matter of focusing, getting those paid down, paid off. And it springs back fairly quickly sometimes. Mine went from below 600 to over 800 and not that long. But I didn't have any majors. Like, I didn't have anything foreclosed. I didn't have anything that, they had to close the books on or negotiate. I mean, I didn't have any of that. Mine was just, I started the business. I leaned heavily on some short-term loans for credit mm-hmm. cards and stuff. And I was totally out of whack. Even though everything was paid on time, I didn't have a good balance. Mm.
You're playing the game, though, and you understand some of those rules, just like the IRS tax code. And you're right. It's credit depth, meaning how old the accounts are, variations in the accounts, is it secured, unsecured, auto loans, credit cards, house.
Yeah.
All of those things matter, but you're intelligent enough to play the game because you understand that there's a scorecard in a game. What I'm talking about is you go back to the client, and have you ever been yelled F you?
Of course.
Okay, not have you yelled it, but have you been yelled at F you?
Yes.
That was the ending of the result that the person that came in, they pulled a wad of cash out and said, look at the cash that I make. This is this month's income.
That's great.
And I said, kind of that.
Yeah.
But I can't claim it unless you claim it. I can't
validate.
But
it's right here in my hand, Derek.
Yeah,
it's right here in my hand. What do you mean you can't claim it? Can't you see?
And there's no documentation of the business up and running for that cash. There's no W-2. There's mm-hmm. no 1099. There's no Social Security, no pension, no nothing other than an onion full of bills. And the comment is, well, F you, then I'll just go find another way to do it.
Then go. And let me know how that is. You know, let me know how
that
goes.
If you can figure out how to change the rules. Now, you know, do you remember back in 07 and 08, we used to call them subprime loans. Remember that terminology?
Yeah.
Okay. Subprime was evil because it is what caused the market to crash. Well, then when subprime, which all subprime meant is it really wasn't VA, FHA, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac. It didn't conform to the main group. So subprime was, we'll do alternate types of loans with higher interest rates because Wall Street wants to make more for their risk, right? Risk reward. So subprime disappears. Then what takes over? Then they called it Alt-A. Okay. Alternate to A paper loans, it's the same thing, but it was a catchy phrase, and the industry did that for a bunch of years.
All right.
Guess what we call them now?
I have no idea.
Now they're called non-QM loans.
Non-QM.
Because they're non-qualified mortgages. They don't fit the box of FHA, VA, Fannie Mae.
So they're all the same.
It's all the same, just different things. So you're seeing a huge push in the industry. And go online, social media, you see a bunch of people going, oh, we do bank statement loans. Oh, you don't need to show tax returns. Well, they're doing non-QM loans, which are the same as the old subprime. And yes, there's a way, and we even talked about it before I got yelled, F you. And he goes, you know, well, I have all this money. I said, great. If you have deposited your money for the last 12 months into the bank and I can see the deposits, there are what are called non-QM loans that say we can take money deposited into a business bank statement and use that as business revenue because you're clearly tracking it.
Yep.
Does that person put that money in the bank?
No.
No. So there's literally no trace because why doesn't he put it in the bank? Because he's afraid that when it goes in the bank, then the IRS is going to track him because of all the things that he hears.
Legitimate concern.
And legitimate concern. So you don't show a deposit. You don't show a business. You don't show income. But you want a federally insured 30-year fixed loan.
Probably going to be tough to acquire.
How does that work? I mean, Russ, I know you'd like to be a 30-inch waist and a 42-inch chest and look like Arnold Schwarzenegger
at
his height. But if you're not willing to go to the gym at all, are you ever going to get there?
No.
No.
No, probably not.
And that's when you got to say, you know, I know your goal is good, Russ, but put down the cheeseburger and the McFlurry kind of a thing.
But here's something else about the gym that I think relates. I've been in and out of gyms many times, and I've done okay for short terms and didn't have really accomplishments of what I wanted. It wasn't until I got an advisor. Seriously. I mean, somebody that says, you're doing that wrong, let me show you.
Mm-hmm.
And that advisor, and that's John Horvath out there in the foothills, I couldn't have developed the results that I've gotten so far without him being a pain in my butt and breathing down my head and say, give me 10 more.
Tell me a little bit. You will stop short yourself, but if he says, give me 5 or 10 more, you'll push through it.
Correct.
Why?
Because I trust him and I trust that he knows. And for me to do it on my own, I don't have that time, experience, and understanding, and I hesitate and I question myself, is it going to do me any good to do 10 more? Because sometimes you can overdo it and cause more and cause you to stop building muscle because you could cause more injuries or whatever, which I'm aware of and I know, but I don't know where that limits are.
But sometimes it's also literally just the belief that you feel the gas tank's empty, but somebody else sees, no, you got a few more in you.
And they got more time, experience, knowledge, and understanding than I do.
And it's literally your mental muscle.
Sure.
It's not anything else, which is the same budgeting, the same credit, the same everything else. Do you like watching movies?
Uh-huh.
Okay, have you ever laughed at a movie?
Yeah.
Have you ever cried in a movie?
I can't say that I did or didn't.
You don't want to admit that on air. Okay, so the reason I ask is, did they put something in the seats or the air that made you laugh or cry?
No.
No, it was emotionally. They put something on the screen.
No.
And they conditioned you to have a response.
Right.
And you gave them the response. Your trainer is conditioning you to do the response and get you out of that way.
Yep.
Because he knows how to make you laugh and cry, probably more cry than laugh.
And he's developed trust. He's developed a consistency and an understanding. I've got results based on what he's doing. So it's all of those things. I mean, it's no different than your business, other than you don't have a weight room.
You don't have a weight room in your business?
You don't either.
Well, I mean, come on. What's a transmission weigh? You've got a weight room. You just
have paper.
What's a 35-inch tire weigh on the rim?
I have no idea.
Come on. You lug 100 pounds around. Come on. What are they?
I don't know. You know, and I do a lot of the transmissions and stuff. I never knew exactly. I know more now than I did. I lift more of them now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can.
Well, because you can, and because somebody across the way goes, Russ, do something for crying out loud. Bring that over here, would you? As you look at all this, though, whether it's credit, whether it's qualifying, whether it's just getting in the gym, it's a path. And the frustration for me out of all of this is, look, I can do a loan. I can help people do their home loans. That's not the exciting thing. The exciting thing is when you actually start changing people's lives. Now, why am I in this business? You've known me for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think I'm in this business?
I think we all need a career. We all need something to do. We all struggle to figure out what we want, what we're going to do. I think you found this niche is one that fits you. I mean, it's not the only thing you've ever done. You've done other things. It fits you. You liked. I think you liked the challenge and the helping and the results given to people and the community, and you excelled at that because your emotions were in it. You liked doing it. It wasn't, oh God, I got to go to work today. It was more like, man, I really want to get this off my table, and you'll show up before the sun comes up because there's a desire, not because there's a requirement. And it's not at work. It's a career, and it's more of a something that you've grown to really like to do.
I think you're right on all of that. And here's my and. What I've learned and what kind of really pushed me to this is everybody should be able to get ahead wealth-wise, income-wise, and there's just not that many paths that I see to help people do that. Now, I know you're in the automotive business. You want to get people somewhere safely and treat them correctly.
Right.
It's not take advantage of them and leave them stranded 12 miles down the road. In our business, you can write a loan, but are we really teaching people how to retire wealthy? So let me ask you a couple questions, and this is really getting to the meat and potatoes. What do you think the average Social Security wage is of most people that I see coming in to qualify as retired individuals?
$1,000 to $1,500 a month.
Okay, so let's use $1,500 a month. I think that's actually a really good number. Yeah. So let's use $1,500 a month. Now, if you're hypothetically 40, how many more years are you typically going to work based on Social Security saying you can retire at what, age 72? How many more years are you going to work?
At the age of 40, you're going to work 25.
25, 30 minimum, right?
You think so? Go right to 70? I don't think most people work till 70.
Well, but most people who are 40 really are not going to be collecting Social Security until then. Yeah. So let's assume even if you started at age 40, here's a simple thing. How many homes do you think people own in their lifetime?
7.
Okay. That's a huge number for most people to digest. So let's dial it back a little bit and say, hey, you know what? Let's do 4.
Okay.
You buy your first one, and maybe you're slow. You don't do it till age 40. You buy your first one at 40, then say 5 years later, you buy your second one. Most people cash the lottery ticket. They sell the home. They take the equity out because the market's gone up, and they put it into the new home, or they put it into a boat or a side-by-side. But if you kept the old home and left it as a rental and moved up the food chain and bought the new one owner-occupied, you only have to put 5% down, not huge down payments like a rental. That's at age 45. At age 50, go do it again, right? Yep. Now, at age 50, how many homes do you own?
Three.
Mm. Two is rentals. One is your owner-occupied. Now, let's just pretend you didn't do anything else and you only ever bought those three homes in your lifetime. In 30 years, when you're ready to retire and the first two rentals are paid off, right, what's the cash flow on that? Now, let's pretend rents never change. let's assume taxes, insurance, and management are about $500 a month. Let's get aggressive.
Okay.
So if it rented for $1,500 a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, take a small house, $1,500 a month rent, take $500 off, that's how much?
$1,000. Yeah.
So those two homes, $2,000 extra in today's income, and clearly rents and stuff are going to go up. But all of a sudden, those two homes that you bought 30 years ago pay you more than your Social Security.
And more than what the mortgage was back when you thought you couldn't afford the mortgage.
Yeah, but yeah. but that's the reason yeah. I'm in this industry is most people don't think they can retire millionaires.
Right.
They don't know how to put together cash flow. And I love doing this show with Tom and Adrian because they see the opposite end of it. You should be absolutely taking advantage of your 401ks and your employer plans and putting other money away, you know, 529 college plans. But at the same time, how we live our life could actually set every American to be a millionaire if they just did a long-term plan.
It's all within reach.
And so you just said you're willing to spend a year of your life to get physically better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to spend any more or any less of my time to retire affluent versus retire poor. It's just a few different decisions.
But people say there's a sacrifice. Well, look, I want to go out on Fridays. I want to spend time with my friends, and I want to play golf. And I want to join the country club and all that. And it's fine. Go do that. It's all in your budget. It's your choice and all that. But just know that if you spend whatever's in the cookie jar and you spend 100% of it, you're going to not build that that compound interest. You're mm-hmm. not going to build that. And you're not saving for yourself.
And I truly, I promise this, when I sit down with everybody's budgets, it's choices.
Right.
And it's not handcuffs, it's freeing choices that just pay yourself first. If you took 10% out of your check first and invested it and saved it, and there is a difference between investing and saving. Sticking it in a savings account that makes you no money is not getting you ahead. Putting it in things that compound, put it in a money market fund, do something with it. But could you save a down payment every 5 years, Russ, if you really tried?
Yeah.
Okay. Hypothetically, let's say you bought a $300,000 home, 5% down, owner-occupied. 3 times 5 is how much?
15.
Cool, that's $15,000. See, everybody notice I'm teeing up the softballs for him.
That was easy.
$15,000 saved up, plus some closing costs, unless you negotiate those in the contract. But let's say $15,000.
Three years for that to get $15,000? That's
pretty simple. I'm just saying, maybe it's 5 years. Could you save $15,000 every 5 years and buy a new home every 5 years?
Yeah, most people could.
So now pretend you're, and again, I'm not saying start at age 20 or age 30 because we were all dumb. I was dumb. I didn't get it. But let's pretend you start at age 40. Maybe you start at age 50.
Yeah.
But if you bought 4 homes over that lifetime and then you lived in the fifth. Now let's pretend rents went up to, hypothetically, $2,000 in 30 years, which I think will become more the norm.
Sure.
And the bills are, let's say, $600 a month, taxes, insurance, and management, because I'd rather pay a property manager. I don't want phone calls coming into me at midnight. If you said $2,000 minus $600, there's $1,400 a month rent on 4 homes. I'm pretty good at math. That's $6,400 a month income coming in for my retirement.
Right.
I'm not living on it now. I don't want people to learn to live on that now. We work, whether it's our self-employed companies or our W-2s. Live on your wages.
And that's just the cash flow you're talking about. You're not even talking about the actual value that continues to increase. It actually is part of your portfolio when you start looking, okay, I own that house out free and clear. I paid $150,000 for it years ago. Now it's worth $350,000, mm-hmm. and it's paid off.
And it's paid off.
It's still worth $350,000. And sure, you're pulling income of $2,000 a month, but that's only part of it.
But now what you just said, when I ask, and I ask this of every customer, just to gauge them, if I say, hey, Russ, are you going to retire a multimillionaire?
No.
Okay. But you could.
I could.
And most people answer that fearfully. They look right, and then they look left, and they look right, and they're trying to figure out their emotions. And they say no. But you just proved my point. If you bought, let's say, only 3 homes over your lifetime.
That's $1 million.
It's literally $1 million net worth when you retire.
Yep.
And how many people retire multimillionaires?
I don't know.
More than you think.
I was going to say, I would think it would be.
More than you think. But the average person doesn't believe it anymore that they can do some certain things. And notice, I'm not saying buy lottery tickets. I'm not saying take chances. I'm saying how you live your life.
I think there's more roadblocks. I mean, it's not as easy. In the times right now with the higher inflation and the higher interest rates, you're not going
to... Tell that to somebody who bought a home back in like 82, 83 when it was double-digit inflation and double-digit...
I know people that did.
And yet, you and I would go, geez, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, why didn't you buy like 100 more houses? Because look how cheap they were. And they're going to turn around to you and go, Russ, because everything was proportional and it was really expensive for us back then.
Right.
You know, minimum wage was significantly lower. The earning potential was significantly lower. You look at all of it is proportional. What is inflation? Come on.
Inflation is the cost of goods going up, actually, basically. But it's not the income.
But it's also, and this is Derek Eggeberg's little opinion, it's just a fake tax. As everything goes up, we all, incomes go up, but the price of gas goes up, the price of food goes up, the price of houses go up. So we see we're making more money, and then it costs more money, and the taxes become more money. It is proportionally the same as it was back then.
10% roughly retire with more than $1 million more in savings.
Okay. So would you personally consider equity in rental home savings, or is that in your bucket not considered savings? Okay. The reason I say that is it's amazing how many 25 and 30-year-old teachers have never heard anything like that. It's amazing how many assistant managers at restaurants don't have good financial education.
And a lot of them may know a little bit about it and say, well, I'll start that tomorrow. because I've got big things. I want to go to a big vacation this week and all. And they always, I mean.
I hope they do.
I know people spend every dollar they have, though. Their budget is whatever's left.
They
spend it first. Mm-hmm. Everything's spent.
And you go to the gym. When do you go to the gym? Morning or evening?
Afternoons.
Okay. So you go to the gym, and do you expect the results before you walk in the gym or after you go home?
I expect results in time.
But that's literally it. That's the reason that I'm in this business is most people don't think they can get ahead financially. Housing and living is the easiest way to get there. It really is. But it's a slow process. You told me you're going to spend 5 years, probably the rest of your life, but you're going to spend 5 years on this journey physically, right?
I think that's what it's going to take for me to reach realistically what I'm looking for, yeah.
Russ, why are you willing to commit?
I'll be 71, by the way, by then.
Good Lord! But why are you willing to commit 5 years for that journey? And there are people out there who just say, F you, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to, you know, it's too big of a mountain to climb.
I feel better. I'm setting a better example for my children, my grandkids. I'm able to do more. I mean, I'm back. I've hiked Telegraph Pass now again and stuff like that that I couldn't do for a while, or I couldn't have done safely.
Don't do that middle of the afternoon in the summer.
I generally don't.
Okay.
But quality of life becomes a lot more. But there's many that just say, well, my quality of life is being able to go to the nightclubs at night. Mm-hmm. That's my quality of life. And that's fine if that's what's for you.
And you know what? More power to you. I support that.
I've got to avoid it, though.
But here's the if.
What?
If you take your budget and you say you're going to put X amount of dollars away first, live on the rest. I don't care if you're spending your money at the gym, at the coffee shops, at the nightclub, on a trip. Who cares? But honestly, if I said, could you save $15,000 in 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. I know that sounds like a lot if I had to come up with it today, but over a five-year run, that's $3,000 a year. That's $250 a month.
Yeah.
I know people that spend more than that at the coffee shop monthly, and I'm not kidding you.
$250?
Yes. So when you say, hey, this is a path, literally every man, woman, and child growing up before they become retired and elderly could retire a millionaire and wealthy.
$250 a month, by the way, is just like $10 a day, you know, for 25 days. That's it.
Isn't that
$10 a day at the coffee shop doesn't go far.
No. See, now, but you just did the math. When I said 250, yeah. you went, what?
No, I knew the answer.
But though. I know you did. But see, there's people who are listening to this that see family members that they're going to. And again, I'm not bagging on any of the coffee shops, any of the restaurants.
But make
love
your choices,
them.
You know.
If you can save that money first, then go to the coffee shop. Go, you know what, go buy the bougie red Ferrari. I don't care. But if you don't save the money first, when you get to retirement, the hardest thing for me, the person who yelled F you and, hey, you know, you're not worth my time because he's holding that onion of cash, whatever. But when an elderly couple comes in and he's got $1,300 or $1,400 a month Social Security, because it was all proportional based on their earnings when they were working, right? Mm-hmm. And she was never really a worker, and so hers might be $600 a month. Let's just add that together and pretend it's $2,000, okay? What do I as a lender typically see as an income versus debt ratio that we have to stay under? You know the
only
number.
What's on paper, though.
50%.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I can't use more than half of somebody's gross income because we have to leave them food and electric, et cetera.
Okay.
So this couple, let's say they made $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
Half of that is $1,500.
Right.
A $200,000 home today with interest rates where they are, putting about 3.5% down, is going to be about $1,400 to $1,500 a month.
Okay.
So they could afford a $200,000 home if they had no credit cards, no cards, no cars, no nothing.
It's getting tougher to find.
But now if you said, hey, I eked into that $200,000 home, do you really think with $1,500 left, they have enough for their electric bill, their gas bill, to get around, to go play shuffleboard, to go to Starbucks?
No.
That's the hardest thing for me is, where was the information that these people needed 30 or 40 years ago?
You know, my first house was, and we bought it like in 1980 or so, 1980, 81, where interest rates were really high and all that. And I bought it from somebody that held the note on the house. And we squeezed into this knowing that it was a big nut. And we didn't turn the air conditioner on for 2 years.
Wow.
And I lived in Tampa, Florida.
I want to make a snarky comment about that's why your brain's fried a little bit.
Maybe like that. But that's what it took. Mm-hmm. Now, everything worked out. I got the promotions I knew we'd get because we were barely entry level, just starting careers. But we knew our income's going to grow. And my income more than doubled in the next 2-3 years. And we sold it and bought a bigger house and mm-hmm. all that. But sometimes that sacrifice what it takes to get in.
Very much. And so the sacrifice you did with no AC could be the same as the sacrifice of just start putting a couple $100 a month away.
How many kids are going to go no AC, though? They won't.
And today?
They may say,
well,
I'll turn it to 75 instead of 74.
Yeah, you're 1,000,000% right on that. But think of way back in the day, that felt like an option to you because even back then, cars, you had to order air conditioning. It was an option.
It wasn't
a standard. I mean, I remember Hondas and Toyotas and Fords and Chevys that you literally, would you like air conditioning or would you like no air conditioning? And it was a upcharge. If you walked on the lot right now and you went to go buy a car and it didn't have air conditioning, would you turn away and leave?
Most people would.
Yeah.
Would. And it used to be that the cars were manufactured, sent to the dealers with no air in them. They say, I want air. They'd roll it in and put it in. It came in a kit. Mm-hmm. You just put it right out and bought a Mitsubishi like that. They came with no air.
But most people would not do that anymore, and especially because we've gotten used to, you know, I want my car to be at 68 degrees as I'm driving in the summertime, and it's 121 degrees outside.
We all prefer it.
Mm-hmm. So now go back to where we were talking about. The ability to massively get ahead in this country
mm-hmm.
over a long, slow period of time.
It exists.
There is nothing I'm ever going to say that is you're going to be rich and affluent in one day.
Right.
The internet makes it look like, oh my gosh, you can flip a bunch of houses this week and look at all the money you can make. You know what? Maybe there's guys with systems out there.
There's guys that can, I'm sure.
I want to be conservative, and I just want my life to prove that I can retire wealthy, and every other person that I talk to can. And literally, you just told me, Could you buy one or two houses and have a couple of rentals before you're ready to stop working, which I know you're never going to stop working.
But I'll never stop working.
You could do it.
Sure.
Anybody could do it. Whether you're 21, whether you're 71, 91, you can buy. Oh, by the way, you know that's a question I get when elderly people come in. Hey, I'm in my 80s. Can I still get a 30-year mortgage?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, why not? Because I don't know that I'll be around in 30
years. That's not the way it's judged.
Well, the funny thing is, if you ain't around in 30 years, it ain't your problem.
No.
But, you know, all joking aside.
The realtors don't care about that. They just care that the house, they can get their money back. And if it's a 30-year loan on a house, and but the loan amount is only 70% of the value, they're not worried.
No, Wall Street only cares about the loan. When we talk A paper loan, Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA, the loan is based on your income, your ability to repay.
Correct.
But it is guaranteed by the collateral.
Correct.
The collateral is your home.
30-year loans are available if you're 80. It's okay.
Right. And Wall Street always adjusts and looks at, if you bought a home with 5% down now, they're budgeting in what's the typical appreciation rate. They know that the longer you hold that home, the better off financially they will be based on that position of the note.
Right.
That's it. So the ability to borrow 30 years doesn't, it's not your age, and it really is the smartest thing you can do.
It's your credit history and ability to have an income that can you can live with. You know, that's it.
So, you know, you start and you go back down that road. The guy who thinks that a wad of cash in the pocket denotes that he can have a home loan that is a 30-year fixed government-insured loan. I just got to ask, if you don't pay the taxes to the government, why do you think you get a government-insured 30-year fixed loan? And, you know, chew on that for a minute. It sounds ludicrous when you say it here verbally, right?
Right.
But to that person, they just know they're not paying taxes because they don't have to claim their income, so they're better off than their friends are. And again, I'd rather go to you. I know you pay your taxes. I know you file your tax returns at your business. But I also want to work with a reputable person who's willing to stand behind their work and that there's, I don't want to say recourse, but, you know, if something went wrong, I know where to find you. I can come back and say, hey, Russ, this happened. I need a little bit of help. And you'll go back and fix it versus I don't even have a record of it. I don't have a receipt. I don't have nothing.
Right.
You know, and it is interesting because I know some of my best friends when we were young in college used what I'll term as the shade tree mechanic. And you brought it in for one problem and that opened up three other problems that are directly resulted from.
Could be.
Oh, no.
I've seen it.
So that's kind of it. You know, my why is this. Every working adult in the United States should retire with additional cash flow and wealth. Yeah. But it's a slow process.
Well, I got Social Security. That's all I need.
Yeah, no. No. And, you know, again, when I say slow process, Russ, how do you step on the scale every day?
Nope.
How long does it take you to see any results when you're working out?
I don't gauge it like that. In fact, sometimes
but
it
most
surprises
people do.
Me.
Most people do.
I don't know. Weeks.
Weeks. You know, months. You know, if you went and worked out 3 days in a row, would you see a weight difference?
No.
You know, you might have a little bit of water weight difference, but
I
not
feel
much.
Feel better.
Now.
Or sore. One way or the other.
So you may see the difference on the scale a week or two from now.
Yep.
You might notice physically a difference 4 weeks out. Other people may start noticing something 6 to 8 weeks out. But, like when you say you lost 9 inches off your waist.
Yeah.
When did the first notch change in your belt?
Probably, I don't really remember, but it would be a month or so, you know, and then.
Isn't that interesting?
It didn't seem like a big deal, but little by little, it shows up, and then people start to notice.
But you're telling me that you worked for 30 days before you got a notch on your belt.
Oh, gosh, at least, yeah.
And I would rather just know that, look, I'm going to live in a house. I'm going to work a job. I'm going to do the things. I'm going to go to Starbucks. I'm going to go to the, you know, Prison Hill, whatever it is. I just want to live. But if I pay myself first in 5 years, I can make another decision and I can buy another home and then turn the old one into a rental. And slowly I'm just living. I'm not trying really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really trying hard? I mean, yeah, you got to get up or you got to do it when you leave here, but are you really trying?
To what?
Work out. You go there and you work out really hard for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And the next 23 hours and 15 minutes of your day, you didn't do anything, right?
Well, I didn't do as much. But when I'm in the gym, I'm focused.
So you worked hard for 45 minutes
sometimes an hour and a half.
Okay, but let's just be honest. The hour and a half, you're not going 90 minutes straight. You're taking breaks. You're getting a drink. You're wiping your forehead with a towel.
Not so much anymore.
Okay.
But I used to. You know, I mean, I'd have to recover. I couldn't do it.
But it still is a little bit a day.
Yeah.
And you're done. It's not 24/7. The same thing. People think a budget and this plan is so gosh darn hard. It's not.
No, it's not.
You take a little bit off, just like you took a little bit of your time out of your day. You put it off to the side and you live on the rest.
Right.
And you just pretend that that doesn't exist. And the people that really listen, like I've got some young people that we've talked about this. You know how cool it is to see somebody who's 35 that is in their second home. Their first home is a rental. The first home, because they bought it during the run-up, has about $100,000 worth of equity in it. I mean,
that's
ludicrously
awesome.
Timed.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
But they have cash flow from the first home that's helping them pay the mortgage on the second home if they wanted. But they're putting that into a savings account, so that's going to help generate the money for their down payment on their next home in, I think, 3 more years. You think, dude, you guys are getting it. You guys are going to be multimillionaires when you're done.
But they don't see it. They don't feel it. What they feel is comfortable where they are, feel secure. They feel like they're probably on the right track. They feel like things are going well.
And they're also scared to no end because they see that home, the rental, sometimes as a huge liability. Like, again, do you have tools break at your shop?
Yep.
You got to replace them.
Yep.
Okay, so do you whine and cry and go, oh my gosh, I broke that wrench.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay, kind of like going to the movie theater and crying. But you know there has to be repair and maintenance to everything.
Budget. So know it's there. Don't get shocked.
The repair and maintenance on the rental is just something you do, and you're not really paying for it. The tenants are paying for it. But that fear is they just realized that they're in business now because they're running a small business called a rental property.
Yeah.
And it's like, see, you guys never even thought you'd be self-employed, but you're running a business called rentals.
Things break. Fans break. Water heaters break.
All
faucets
of it.
Break.
Sprinkler in the front yard.
Yeah, the roof, you know, is guaranteed for 30 years and then it might need to be replaced, all that kind of stuff. But really, if you look at your maintenance, you know, you put aside $200 a month out of your whatever in maintenance, you know, just know you're going to spend it. It's going to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be all right.
And in the end, boring. Boring is best. Just simple, easy, monotonously boring steps to retirement that couple, they literally have, let's call it 40 more years to retirement. Because, again, where I project Social Security
and,
is going to be.
If they stay on track, if they don't get off track,
goodness,
and they keep doing it, they're going to be fine.
Let's pretend 40 years. And I know this is a math, but if you bought a home every 5 years in 40 years, that's 8 more houses. They could own 9 houses in their lifetime. Now, yes, some of them are not going to be paid off. I understand how the snowball rolls. But half of them, if half are paid off, and then slowly the rest are getting paid off, and you owned 8 homes, what's the value of 8 homes in 40 years? And the answer is I don't know.
No, you know, because you don't know what they're going to be worth. You can talk about today's dollars. You know.
So let's say today's dollars. If the average home is
$2 million, $250 million, you know.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, $2.4, $2.5 million in real estate based on boring living that you're going to live in a house anyway.
Yeah.
You're going to drive into your own garage anyway.
Yeah.
But it's a choice, and the choice is, if I keep the home, no, I don't get to harvest the cash. I don't get to go buy a boat. I'm just going to leave it invested. The same as Tom and Adrian would tell you, don't you keep your money invested? You don't pull it out and go, yay, let's go spend this money, and okay, now it's gone, which is what most people do with the equity to their home, is they sell it, they put it all into the next home that they're going to live in, or they go buy a boat or a car. So it takes discipline, and I'm going to go back to you, the discipline of working out for 45 minutes to an hour a day.
Yeah.
Dropped 9 inches off your waist, Russ.
Well, it makes me sleep better, feel better, okay. All of those things. So
do you breathe better?
It probably makes, of course, makes me more productive.
You snore less?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I mean, I don't walk in the door when it's still dark outside and hear you snoring in here anymore.
No, not anymore. Yeah, I've got to clean that up a little bit.
So, you know, again, that's the take for the day is every man, woman, and child here could retire with cash flow and what I perceive as wealth if they just want to get boring and a little disciplined. Yeah. If you ever need help, call me. I love talking about this stuff.
You really do.
I do.
I mean, you enjoy... If somebody's not even buying a house right now, they're trying to work their way to become a house owner, you're the right stop.
I send
people to you.
And I appreciate that. Yeah. I have a mom that I've done work for, bringing her 19-year-old daughter in today, and we're going to have a conversation. And clearly she's not going to buy a home today because she doesn't have 2 years worth of work experience, although technically you could if you started at age 16.
Could.
Because you can sign a contract after age 18. But it's starting the process to get them to realize as soon as this person is done with college and them working their job, they should be buying a home like the day they graduate college, wherever they want to go to work. But that's a process that, you know what, let's get you ready while you're going to college.
Right.
I think that's fantastic. I mean, that would be the course that everybody should need to be taught that, hey, let's get wealthy slowly. You know, everybody wants to get rich quick. No. Let's get everybody wealthy slowly because there's a difference between wealth and richness. And to me, the difference is if I've earned it and I've built it, I'm going to protect it a lot better. You know, the person, how many people generally win the lottery go bankrupt within a couple of years?
A tremendous percentage, like over half probably, and they regret winning because they never really...
They didn't learn the lessons to...
They didn't
protect
know how to handle
the
it.
Wealth.
And everyone
correct.
Says, well, I would do it. I would. No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. If you don't already have that spreadsheet built of what you do with your lottery winnings, you're not going to do it. But, you know, all that aside from everybody at Guild Mortgage, everybody at KBL Yuma, you know, we can't even have these conversations. We can't even assume we can be protected for the next 40 years to build wealth without the men and women in our armed forces. And I'm talking currently serving, past serving. Heart goes out to anybody who's paid the ultimate price and sacrificed their life for us. And there's men and women who understand what service is. And that is the reason we can have these conversations. We can be on the radio. So again, I cannot say thank you enough to that group of people. And you are the reason we do what we do. So when you need advice, when you need a better conversation, come in. And as Russ always says, have a cup of coffee.
But you don't even have to be in the market to buy a house right now, but you want to know what I need to do to get there.
No, that 19-year-old who's coming in is not in the market to buy a home. But if we can nudge people along just a little bit and be a sounding board for sage advice as opposed to a sales piece of advice, that's why we're there. And again, it's come in if you have a question, call if you have a question. Ask Russ Clark if, you know, your stuff. You're actually pretty good with this. But if, you know, sounding board, hey, should I go ask Derek this? Because it's going to be a really scary question.
Well, ask Derek.
But in the end, thank you so very much for all of your service. And if we can ever do anything for you, please let us know. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
We'll be right back. This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.